from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Boyteam.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. This hour brought to you by Tycor Title. Do you want to get paid? Do you hate your job and need a new one? Are you sick of Seattle and want to move to a way cooler place that costs less? Well, tune in at 11:30. You might want to enjoy and listen to our next guest that comes in at 11:30 to hear about a real opportunity for you. But right now, let's get to the show. All right. Now, could the coronavirus change the future of men's facial hair fashion? The CDC has released recommendations for men that they should shave their beards, Mike. Now, as someone, you're pretty clean shaven. I see a list right here. Yes, this is real. The CDC is recommending that you shave your beard to protect against coronavirus. There is a list that's out there. You can look this up. Hopefully you're not driving or anything, but there is a list, and it showed you. By the way, none of these guys look like me. But anyways, you're clean. Want you to be clean shaven, and they have all the different types. And I've been sitting here, Mike, learning about the horseshoe, the painter's brush, the chevron, the Van Dyke, the imperial, all of these different things. Of course, you know what
all
a
right,
handlebar is.
We're going to test your knowledge.
All right.
So you can't look at the chart.
Okay.
Stop looking at the chart.
Okay.
Is a verti acceptable or is a soul patch acceptable?
Oh, man. Soul patch, definitely acceptable. I'm keeping my soul patch. Which one?
Verti, soul patch is acceptable. Verti is not. How about a Garibaldi? First, you have to describe a Garibaldi, and then you have to say whether or not the CDC finds it acceptable.
By the way, I think the CDC was scared to make the soul patch unacceptable.
Perhaps so.
Perhaps okay, so. What was that next one, man?
The Garibaldi. Describe a Garibaldi for me and tell me whether or not the CDC finds that acceptable to keep one and not worry about the coronavirus.
I ain't going to lie, man. I don't know what a Garibaldi
is. I don't know what
is.
Most of these are, actually. Didn't know what a French fork was or... ducktail, I knew from a
French fork.
Yeah, I know that doesn't sound like it'd necessarily be a beard. A painter's brush, the chevron, the balbo, the anchor, the circle beard, the extended goatee, the zappa, the walrus, the villain, the Zorro, the lampshade, the toothbrush. You know, it is acceptable. If you've ever seen John Waters, the pencil mustache is the soul patch is the side whiskers are obviously. So I guess if you're Wolverine, no worries. Clean shaven, of course, is stubble, is not.
Mike, you're clean shaven. Why do you decide mm-hmm. to go clean shaven?
Why did I decide? I don't know. I don't grow a very good beard.
Oh, okay.
It's just I'm just sort of in the habit of it. I did for a while, many, many years ago, mm-hmm. sort of make a really weak effort at it. And I found that because the only reason I did is that, oh, I can shave less often. That's nice. It streamlines my morning a little bit. And then I realized that beards are as much maintenance as shaving, sometimes more so.
Yes, they
and
are.
So I just said, you know what? This is not actually accomplishing what I want. Plus, for me, it just is I'd prefer, no facial hair.
Well, we didn't mean to get off on a tangent on facial hair, but we did have to let you know that the CDC is recommending those things. And so when you get a chance and you need to have those charts, or if you just want to get on there and you just want to learn about all the different types of beards, it's pretty fascinating. I had no idea. As a matter of fact, yesterday we talked with Dr. Peter Rabinowitz, director of the University of Washington Center for Pandemic Preparedness, and he talked about that. And I'd asked him on a scale of 1 to 10 his concern about the coronavirus. Scale of 1 to 10 for you, your, I don't want to say worry meter, concern meter for the coronavirus. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. Where would your meter be, sir?
I'd say 7 or 8 that we need to, if we don't take some preparations right now and it gets worse, we're going to really feel like we missed the boat. We need to be concerned. We need to be worried, and we need to be doing some preparations so that if it does get worse, we're ready.
And yesterday, he was on our show talking about that. And then this morning, we found out, we got the news last night because the
the parents in the Bothell School District, they got a letter from their superintendent letting them know that the school was going to be closed today. And the reason why it was closed is because one of their staff members had come back from international travel on Monday. Well, on Tuesday, one of their members that traveled with them had gotten sick. And because that member gotten sick, Bothell took precaution to go ahead and close it down. The school.
Yeah. And that teacher also was wearing a Van Dyke, and they found that completely unacceptable it created a huge liability. Everyone has to shave now at Bothell,
yeah,
according to CDC.
I didn't catch that at first. Let's change directions and talk about conspiracy theories, because Mike has been wanting to talk about this all week. And by the way, we are going to disagree.
They fake the moon landing. But Roswell was real. There's drugs in the water.
Sometimes, Mike, I never know where Chef is going to take us when we get ready to transition into a topic. But all I can do is trust him. But just recently, there was a float. Because as you guys know, Mardi Gras was happening. Fat Tuesday was just recently. And there was a float that turned heads down in New Orleans, Mardi Gras parade. And on it, it said, Epstein didn't kill himself, was a conversation that was going. So that has been a topic about whether or not Epstein killed himself or not. Let me go ahead and start, because I know you have a lot to say about this topic.
Not that much.
Yeah.
I only have one thing to say about it. He didn't kill himself. Or he did kill himself.
No. You had it right the first time, brother.
No, he did kill himself. Simple. It's okay. Super simple. I don't know why. I have no idea why this thing is lingering. I do think it's funny, though, because now athletes have started ending interviews with Epstein to kill himself. We've got a float at Mardi Gras. It's become kind of this pretty funny, pretty ironic gesture, but it doesn't really change what the facts are.
You really don't think that he... I really do think
I think it's completely plausible that he is one of the 5,000 people who killed themselves in custody in jail last year. I think it's completely plausible. He was facing a life in prison, separation from his wealth, certainly separation from his status. What other person's a better candidate? And this whole idea that he had this trove of information to prevent him from being killed. All right, well, he was killed. Where's that?
I think he was killed because he did have so much information.
Right, but if you knew that was a threat, if you were keeping that information to keep yourself safe, which has been the narrative, right? All right,
well,
you would have a fail-safe if you got killed. Like, all right, the whole reason to keep you alive is that information then gets out, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole buttress against getting killed is, look, I've got information that can be released even upon my death. This is why you don't want to kill me. Fair enough? If you want to believe that narrative, then where is it?
I think Epstein had a lot of time.
One photo.
I think he had a lot of time to get rid of all of that information.
No, he didn't want to get rid of it because it protected him. Don't you get it? Yeah. I mean, so this is the thing. Like, people can't square the action. If you believe that he did, then where is it now? We haven't seen one photo, one video. Okay.
I think there was a shock. I think there was a shock amongst the billionaires that thought that he would actually go to jail. Nobody thought that dude would go to jail.
But no, but still, that still doesn't explain anything. He was worried about somebody... he had information on people, purportedly powerful people, who were then going to intervene and keep him. If they wanted him to die, and he felt like they wanted him to die.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he had information on them that kept him alive.
Well,
that's the narrative.
I understand what you're saying, but the same information that he had on them, he had on himself, too.
You're already in jail. What do you care? I mean, this is the whole point. Like, the narrative doesn't square when people keep trying to say that the guy was killed.
Let me ask you this. Do you, and I don't get all crazy with conspiracy theories, because yesterday.
Except this one, but yes, go ahead.
But the other day, Dr. Barbara Ziv, and she was a key witness in the Harvey Weinstein trial. She was hit by a car last night. Think that's coincidence?
After he was
convicted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about the Kevin Spacey stuff? How about some of those people that have committed suicide, died randomly? Some of those witnesses.
Well, do I think Kevin Spacey preyed on people?
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Did he prey on people who may have like self-worth issues and may be going down a track like that? Yeah. Could they have been traumatized by what he did to him? Yeah. Could that person commit suicide? Yeah. Does that mean that they were suicided by somebody? No.
Epstein didn't kill himself. So we're going to move on. We'll move on to this next one. This was Ticketmaster. I don't know if you we were talking about this earlier this morning. Ticketmaster and other online ticketing companies, they said Wednesday, this was yesterday, that they support rules to require upfront disclosure of all the fees tacked on to concert and sporting events tickets, but only if all ticket sellers are required to do so by law.
Yeah, I mean, this Ticketmaster, there has been, well, not just credible evidence. There literally, this is true, that sometimes the tickets or prices are inflated for a variety of fees, 67% in some cases. Quite a bit of extra money. Cell phone companies, even though they have a lot of obscure ways of describing this, do have to disclose the fees. They have to, and if you look at your cell phone bill, hopefully you've got better things to do. But if you do, all of those fees are disclosed and they're described. Now, sometimes they're described in pretty couched language, you know, local mobile tax, blah, blah, whatever. But the fact is they have to disclose all of those fees so you can at least, that was, and you know when they had to start doing that? When the feds required them to. I have no problems, regardless of what you're paying, that you know exactly what you're paying for. We're talking about it now with healthcare. Truth in billing laws are getting passed all over the country. So you know when you get these crazy health bills, what the cost breakdown is. Why shouldn't we do that with concert tickets? I think it's totally appropriate.
I 100% think it's appropriate. And by the way, I've noticed that with airline tickets, when I go to purchase airline tickets, they stopped doing it now. You'll see the airline like, oh, I just found one for $2.59. And when you would go on there and you buy it, now today is $2.59 with all of the taxes and everything included. That's what I would want Ticketmaster to do instead of, oh, I just found these good tickets for $85 and you get on there and then you see all of the fees. You have that one part of it. And then you have the other end of it when you go and you buy something for $325 only to find out that it was face value of $75. So, yeah, I want to know everything up front.
Yeah, I don't mind if a company wants to list the pre-tax, pre-fees price online and I click on it, as long as before I pay, I get an itemization of what I'm paying for and the breakdown of that, I'm fine with it. I don't care at what point it happens because I'm going to look at it regardless. Mm-hmm. But what I don't want to see is the agreement to purchase with no explanation and then you get billed extra. Or what I don't want to see is what are the breakdown of fees. I mean, the airlines do this all the time because they feel like they are frequently assessed fees that they don't want to have to charge. For example, airport fees. Most airlines have to pay an airport fee that gets itemized into your ticket. They want you to know, hey, our expensive, and gas stations want this as well, our expensive priced ticket is partly because of regulations passed by your government. And that's what they want. They want to be able to remove blame from themselves. Ticketmaster doesn't like this because they're the ones adding that fee. It's not coming from an outside source.
This last story we'll talk about before we get to our guests at 11:30. And by the way, if you're paying attention right now, at 11:30, we do have Peter Asai. He's going to come in. He's a recruitment manager for Pierce County Human Resources. He'll join us in studio and to find out what's going on down there about the availability of jobs. And I think another added feature that they have going on with this fair is going to be pretty cool. But, Mike, I saw this. This was in the Seattle Times. About one in five Washington Community College students were homeless last year. And according to this whole deal, it talked about that. Nearly one in five, they were homeless and had to either sleep outside, in a car, or at a shelter, and that more than 40% went hungry or couldn't afford to buy nutritious food. When you hear something like that, Mike, first of all, I want to say I was kind of shocked at that number. What do you think about those figures right there?
Well, I mean, I always try and look, and I was trying to figure out what we're talking about when we're talking about homeless. I mean, because homeless can mean everything from somebody living in a car, living in the streets, or living on someone's couch, all of which I think actually should be accounted for, and that isn't a stable living environment. So I get it, and I agree with it, but it's just nice to know what we're talking about. The second part of that, of course, is that these folks are also self-reporting, but they're self-reporting that they don't have enough money for food regularly. I think both of these things speak to the problems of even something as inexpensive, relatively speaking, as community college, still can be such a drain on people that it's actually they're having to carve out of life's necessities, a sort of basic hierarchy of needs, that they can't meet those as a result of paying for this. And I would say for people who are unhappy about the city government getting going in and paying for tuition, for example, on seniors who are going to community college, I would say this. If you run the numbers, if you just look at the math, let's just talk, let's set aside compassion. If you just look at the numbers and you allow someone to get an AA, their capacity to earn goes up by something like 22%. That, and then a four-year degree goes up even higher than that. This money is coming back in the form of taxes. It's coming back, it's like societally in a form of self-worth. Like the notion that we could actually make school cheaper for people helps to at least curb these sort of things, these sort of surveys that we're seeing here today.
You know the old saying, give someone a fish. We hear this all the time. Give someone a fish, they eat for a day. Teach someone to fish, and they eat for life. And which always kind of bothers me when we are discussing the amount of money that is thrown at homelessness. It just seems like it needs to be, I'm not saying it doesn't need to be thrown at it at all, but more money and more resources need to be continued to be thrown at the homelessness issue before. In this case right here, when you start talking about right. 1 in 5 community college students being homeless, living on couches, living in cars, whatever the definition being. But when you're talking about their living situations, and so being able to get that AA, like you just talked about, will significantly increase their earning power. And when they have increased earning power.
And remove them from this list.
Remove them from the list. And so the question would be is this. When would you like to help this person? Would you like to help them before they're extremely homeless or after they're extremely homeless?
Right, exactly. I mean, it's much less expensive to do it on the front end. I would also say this as an aside, maybe it's time for the city to coordinate or the college campuses to coordinate with the local food banks and maybe get a food bank set up on campus if there are students who can't afford to eat. That's a perfect way of getting that service connected with a local college. If you're having 1 in 5, that's a significant number of people, and that might be one thing they should think about.
Let's just say you're looking for employment, or someone you know is looking for employment, or just wants an opportunity, an idea on how to interview, all of that stuff. Well, you want to stick around, because our next guest is going to help us understand what is going on down there in Pierce County. You listen to the Gene Ursula Show. Mike Lewis joins us. It's the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. Oh, yes, your texts and emails along with words to live by, that comes up next. Well, job opportunities. Yes, we'll be talking about that. By the way, I'm going to ask this question before we invite our next guest on. Text us, 98973. We love all of our listeners all around in Pierce County, King County, all over. Snohomish, it doesn't matter. If you live in Pierce County, tell us why your county, Pierce County, is better than King County. So we'll be talking about that next. But again, job opportunities are important to individuals, families, and, of course, the economy. Well, down in Pierce County tomorrow, there will be a bunch of them, a bunch of opportunities that are happening. In studio now to join us and tell us about it will be Recruitment Manager for Pierce County Human Resources, Peter Asai, and Assistant Director of HR, Christina Roberts. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, let's get to it. Tell us what's going on Friday. Peter, you want to tell us about that?
Absolutely. We're very excited to have a job and career guidance event. Mm-hmm. The reason why we titled it that way is because we're offering jobs. And one of the most exciting things is we're offering on-the-spot interviews for some of our seasonal summer work, which is a great entry point to any position here at Pierce County. But also, we really want to strongly emphasize the guidance portion. We want to help guide people the direction they want to go. And the reason, because of that, the overall theme of this is we want to know what your dream job is. We want to help you reach your dreams, basically.
You mentioned the guidance portion, yes, of this job fair. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, are you Are you helping me learn how to do an interview? What are you doing during that process?
Absolutely. The interview is an important component. So we are going to be assisting with interview tips and such, with also a focus on interviewing specifically at Pierce County, because every institution is a little bit different. And we're also going to be assisting with resume help, making that super resume format to really market yourself. And also, overall, just understanding the overall experience in applying for a position at Pierce County.
If someone is going to show up tomorrow, and where is this going to be held?
It's going to be held at the Sprinker Recreation Center in Tacoma.
Okay. If someone's showing up tomorrow, what should they be bringing with them if they're interested in the Pierce County job fair?
Well, ideally, they want to bring a resume. But what's most important is, going back to that theme, we want to know what your dream job is. We want to know what direction you want to go. We don't want to know, you know, your first step. We want to know where you ultimately want to go, because we want to help you get there.
What are going to be some of the different, I should say, agencies or jobs? I'm sure there will be different booths. Like, Pierce County is putting this on, so I would assume there's different sections there's going to be job offers in. What are some of those?
The one that's really highlighted this time is in our public planning and public works department.
Okay.
We actually have entry-level jobs that we're going to be doing on-the-spot interviews for during this event. And this will give you a really good perspective on Pierce County culture in general. But all across the board, we have administrative jobs. We have jobs in communications. We have jobs in just about every field you could think of. You got to look at us not as a government agency. Look at us like we're a really big company. We offer the same type of jobs.
So someone here in living here in King County, and they're just kind of bummed out that it's getting a little too expensive, a little too much traffic. They're not liking it here. They're thinking, I wonder if I should move to Pierce County. Why should someone move to Pierce County from King County and try and get a job with Pierce County?
For one, we are a burgeoning community. The arts community and such is really taking off. It's definitely an up-and-coming place to live. So all the amenities that you would find in King County, we're starting to get here down in Pierce County. And in addition, the cost of living, of course, there's a big difference between the two. You could get a lot more for your money down in Pierce County. King County is wonderful, of course, but if you really want to live the dream, I think Pierce County is the way to go.
That is the voice of Peter Asai, and also Christina Roberts joins us as well. And maybe, Christina, you can weigh in on this conversation. On the question is why? Because this sounds like it's the first time that Pierce County has put on something like this. Why?
I am so glad you asked me that. So I've been with Pierce County for a little over 2 years, I think. So still fairly new. And one of the things about Pierce County that's so great, having been born and raised there my whole life, is the richness and the diversity of where the county is going. And I love that. And one of the things I think public service doesn't do a really good job of is really just making folks aware of the opportunities we have, and that a career in public service is a good career and it's a meaningful career. And secondary to that, I feel that because Pierce County is so big, and while we have dense areas, we have Tacoma, we have some of our little cities that are growing, there's also a lot of untapped areas in the county where I think we have better opportunities to reach out to populations that may or otherwise would not have heard about our jobs. So in order to do that, you have to put boots on the ground, and you have to be proactive in going out there and finding those candidates, especially in those areas that I consider to be a little bit more under-marginalized, those areas where, you know, those opportunities could really help uplift people in our community. So when I got here, I really wanted to relook at the way that we were looking at our talent acquisition activities, hence why I brought on Peter. And one of the biggest things we did was the executive launched a diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative in our hiring in order for us to get out there more and just make people aware that our jobs exist. So one of those objectives or tasks that came from that was we thought we want to be innovative and creative. We want to do something on our own, and we want to put some effort around having this job fair. And so We feel like we're reaching a different community and area in Pierce County. We're making it accessible, making sure it's an area where there's accessibility, times where people who have children who may otherwise not be able to come to these job fairs. So there is that, yes, we want job seekers, but we also want these, mindful that these events also are catering to a community that is becoming more diverse and has a lot of different needs. So we're pretty excited about it.
Talk a little bit about what sort of jobs are open right now and how many? I mean, you're not doing a job fair because there's six openings. You're doing a job fair because there's a whole bunch. So what's the scope of it and what sort of jobs can people expect if they show up? What's on the table?
Well, you know, to tell you the scope of what we're looking for, there's an upcoming, very important election coming. We are looking for election workers and we're looking for up to 500 people. So we're looking for quite a lot of people.
Yeah, that's quite a lot.
We're looking for anywhere from 50 to 100 summer seasonal workers as well. And
so what would a summer seasonal worker, I mean, for example, would that be a parks department? Could that be any number of things? I mean, where would those people actually be employed? What sort of tasks would you be asking them to do?
Absolutely. You know, the areas that we need a lot of help for generally in government agencies if you have a parks and recs department, absolutely. We have fun, exciting parks and rec opportunities for the summer. We have maintenance work that can only be done during the summer. And so forth.
And is this the type of thing, let's just say, to your referencing summer work, let's say I'm a high school junior.
Yes.
I'm looking for a little extra money over the summer. I mean, are these the type of jobs that are not necessarily career jobs, but they're just summer jobs? Would a high school student be the type of person who could potentially get a job like this?
Well, that's a little tricky. There is a requirement that they need to be at least 18 years old.
Okay.
For a job.
But it could be
yes.
A college student or something like that, or somebody
Absolutely.
Who has a summer free could maybe sign up for one of these to earn a little extra money over the summer.
That's absolutely correct.
Can I add something too to that?
Sure.
To what other jobs? This is also the time that we do heavy recruiting for our internship opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So internship can lend anywhere from any people who are in any kind of educational program that are looking to supplement whatever educational track they have on. So those opportunities will also be there too as well. So I think that there is a need out there for folks that are looking for those type of jobs.
So there's a lot of people listening right now. There's some that want to attend this deal. There's some that's saying, hey, I know people that need to. I got some family members that need to get out of my house, need to go get a job. So it's 3 o'clock tomorrow on Friday, 3 to 7, am I correct?
Yes.
And it's at Sprinker. So if I'm listening right now, what do I need to do to be able to come to this? Do I need to sign up somewhere? Do I need to just show up? What do I do?
We would love you to go to the Eventbrite site and actually pre-register. We have about 800 people that pre-registered already.
Okay.
Just so we could gauge things and manage things on a logistical level. Mm-hmm. But we just want you to come. We want you to find out what we do. We want to talk about our services. You know, not just our jobs, our services. And if you just happen to enjoy your services. We want you to come work for us and provide the best services possible for the communities of Pierce County because they deserve it.
Really appreciate you guys coming up. Hope a lot of people get an opportunity to go down there.
Thanks.
This is your chance. Thank you, Peter Asai. Thank you, Christina Roberts. Really appreciate you.
Awesome.
And thank you guys for listening. This is your opportunity down there. Pierce County's putting on a little deal down there. Sprinker is going to be happening 3 to 7 tomorrow. Coming up next, we take your text, your feedback and more. Words to live by. It's the Gene Ursula Show with Mike Lewis. It's the Gene Ursula Show, everybody. Mike Lewis joins us. Dory Munson's show comes up in the 12 o'clock hour. But right now, every day we do at this time, we take your texts, your feedback. And, of course, coming up, we'll do words to live by. In scenarios today, ooh, that was a good topic. What to do when your wife treats your son like a mama's boy and snuggles him to sleep every night and wakes him up every morning with the same. 206 says, I love this mom. We need more moms like her.
From 253, let them snuggle. The boy will realize the damage when the time is right.
253 says, my wife did that with our son, and now he is 7 and can't even go to sleep without her in the bed or the room. He has turned into a conditional sleeper
It's tough for us all.
From 503, I snuggled every night with my son until he was 11 and a half years old. He is 100% boy.
206 says, wow, G, you are way off base. And the reason why there are so many unadjusted kids that don't know how to be self-reliant.
From 206, we are the only society who push our children and babies away when they need us most. And for Pete's sake, get creative where you and your spouse make love. The bed isn't the only place for sex.
On the topic of coronavirus, Mike, 425 says, so a teacher went on an international trip and then came back to work with hundreds of students around, and their family friend is sick. Have they been living under a rock? Do they not know the risk of what they could be doing?
And from 509, good for the school. We should be taking more proactive action in regards to this pandemic. The real question is, why are we still allowing flights from hotspots?
425 says, oof. Why are people still traveling to these countries? I say abandon them and leave them in those countries until they are better.
On the four white supremacists arrested by the FBI, from 425, I hope they keep those Adam Waffen members in prison. They are a huge violent step above the Klan, and when they do some kind of masculine.
I'm trying to read this the right way. I want to make sure I get this right. 206 says, I've been thinking about starting an Adam Waffen group.
Hunting group.
As a fourth generation Washington native, I don't want these knuckleheads anywhere near my state.
From 425, what do you guys think about the relatively small group of people getting the amount of publicity we're currently giving them? Is this helping their cause, or does the attention flush these guys out like cockroaches when the lights go on? It's a good question.
Mm-hmm. 253, while I completely and wholeheartedly despise Adam Waffen, I think that the media being an enemy of the state is partially true. I've noticed that there is not an equal balance of news for both sides. I've watched the media propagate ideas and ideologies that lean way left. I just want to just say to that comment, you know, I'm sure that there was a time when black men were considered super predators. So that was probably not so good either. But go ahead.
Why is Pierce County better than King County? You can get twice the house for half the price in Pierce County.
I'm going to go down to homeless college kids. 520 says, University of Washington Tacoma has a food bank for their students that are facing hunger. People can contribute that any time.
That's good to hear. From 360, G, you got that quote wrong. It's, if you give a man a fish, he eats for a day. If you teach a man to fish, he drinks beer and swaps lies all weekend.
The mass shooting that happened in Milwaukee, 253. Hey, G, I like your show. Let's talk about the mass shootings in Chicago every weekend, every day. Why doesn't the media talk about this? Probably for the same reason that the media doesn't talk about that there were more fentanyl deaths in Chicago last year than gun violence deaths. Go ahead, Mike.
From 253, as a gun owner and I carry, this guy is bat-ass crazy. Any responsible gun owner has no problem with extra screenings and such.
That's good. 425, it's amazing how I cannot find information on the firearm used. Can we just be honest finally about this issue? Uber left wants to take your weapon by any means possible, whether it involves a quote-unquote assault weapon or not.
The police haven't released that yet. From 253, more people die from texting while driving than guns or alcohol? Or guns or alcohol?
Is that true?
There's a little fact check there for you.
I don't think that actually is true. The CDC reports that 9 people die from distracted driving per day in the U.S., or about 3,300 per year. In 2016, 11,000 people died from alcohol-related crashes. The same year, 38,000 people died from gunshot injuries.
Oh, okay. Mark and Paul's Bow, and this is the last one, Mike. G, apply all the gun debate issues to alcohol, a product that kills many thousands a year. Test the logic and hypocrisy. Mike, thanks for joining the show, my man. It's
happy
been fun.
To.
Chef, thanks for cooking up a great show, man.
Oh, yeah. Pillows and cuddle fights.
Andrew!
Can't wait for Friday.
And that comes tomorrow. Hey, we appreciate all of you for listening to the show. It's been awesome. It's been great. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have some guests. You know how we do. It's the show of guests. We'll have a bunch of fun there. Appreciate you listening to the show. It means the world that you do. Love you for that. Be good.